been adventurous already. I had a little bit of an experience this week that I was just, as we were singing, I was thinking about. My oldest will be 3 in December, and every night my wife sings a song with him before they go to bed. So this week I was just in the hall leaning up against the wall listening to them. And from a technical standpoint, my 2-and-something-year-old is a very bad singer. And yet is one of the best things I have ever heard. And I think there's a lot of what God hears in that when we gather together for these times of worship. So today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Has nothing particular to do with what I just said, but we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Feel free to turn there. And as people, we tend to have all sorts of misconceptions. All sorts of things that we think are one way and then later on learn, in fact, are not. We often have misconceptions about people, even people we know very well. You know, my wife, there are things I know very well about my wife. I know that she loves me. I know that she wants the best for me. I know that she has good intentions. And yet what's interesting is there are those moments where you have, should we say, tense discussions. Tell people, we've never argued in 9 years, but there's been a lot of tense discussions. But there's those times where even in those moments, there's something within my heart that can start to manufacture misconceptions about that person. They can start to question their goals, their intentions, their motives, even for the people I know best. And if that is how we treat the people we know best, what about acquaintances? What about strangers? We form all kinds of misconceptions about who has value, about who has good intentions and who doesn't. I think this is why Jesus encouraged his followers not to judge other people. Not only because it's not particularly our job, but also because we're horrible at it. We also have misconceptions about God. Misconceptions about how he is working or how we think he's not working in our lives. And this is where Paul is going to begin today. He's going to talk about misconceptions that we once had about Jesus, about who Jesus was. And then coming from that, he's going to talk about misconceptions we may have about ourselves. So here's our main point today. As ambassadors of God, we commend ourselves by our endurance, our character, and our methods because we see what God is doing in the world. We see what God is doing in the world. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the passage. Lord, thank you for how you continue to provide, even providing just by bringing the power back on. Thank you for the chance just to gather. Thank you that we are a family that can gather, and no matter what happens, no matter what the outside circumstances look like, Lord, we can just share in the joy of your presence. Would your Spirit work through your word today? In your son's name I pray, amen. So Paul opens up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 like this. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. He's saying we had misconceptions about who Jesus was at one point. When I'm talking to people and people fail to understand who Jesus is, that does not come as a surprise to me. That does not shock me. I have been there. We all have been there. We all at some point regarded Christ according to the flesh. just according to what we could see, kind of that snap first impression that we make with all people. You see, looking from the outside, there's a lot of things about Jesus that can be confusing. He was poor. He was somewhat homeless and itinerant. He seemed to at times alienate even those that expressed an interest in following him. He could be demanding. If that was not enough, there were times where even his disciples seemed to be confused by his teachings. But all this is what we can see according to the flesh. Just by our own instincts. Aren't we glad that God does not look at us and judge us the same way we look at and judge one another? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And this isn't a new concept for us. There are all kinds of stories, writers and authors and everyone, all been trying to tell us that the things you can easily see about a person are not indicative of what is most important about them. Being a follower of Jesus is simply taking those first few steps in recognizing who he truly is. As Paul writes in Colossians 1:19, "In him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And being a follower of Jesus is just starting to recognize who he is. When we begin with God's help to recognize who Jesus is, we begin to see what he has done, what he is doing. And that is where Paul goes next in the passage. Look down at verse 17. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It moves from misconceptions we've had about Jesus, and when we start to see clearly there, we start to see misconceptions we have about ourselves. You see, the stories we tell are beyond important, especially the stories we tell about ourselves. For example, I can say, and I can say truthfully, that I am a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And that is absolutely true. And yet as a young Christian, I struggled with that somewhat because that was the whole story in my head. And if I always framed my identity as a sinner, is there any wonder I struggled to not live into that identity? Whereas Paul is doing something different here. He says, okay, what is the core of your identity in Jesus? Who are you? What is the truest thing about you? And he says, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And are there days where that doesn't feel true? Like today? Or yesterday? Or I hate to break it to you, tomorrow? But that is the story I am telling myself. That is the reality I'm living into. Why? Because as Paul says elsewhere, I'm working out my salvation. I'm wrestling with a lifetime of how I was raised or just who I am in my own nature that would push me away from God. I'm wrestling with those things. And yet, as Paul says in that same passage, work out your own salvation because it is God working in you. Because I know that that same God who has begun that work will finish it to completion. we see that we are becoming and are a new creature. But not only a new creature, I am a creature with a new purpose. The change that is happening, that is coming from God, is due to a work of reconciliation that God is working through Jesus. God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, not counting my trespasses against me. Amen. And here is the incredible part. Here's the part where you get to and you go, wait, I'm not sure this is a good idea. He is entrusting that message of reconciliation to you and to me. God wants to reconcile the world to himself, and he wants us to play a pivotal part in that reconciliation. If you've ever wondered what your calling is, if you ever wondered what you were meant to do, the good news is, if you're in Jesus, we can answer that right now. This is it. In Jesus, this is your job description. Are you ready? 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I look to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are ambassadors for God. God is making his appeal through us. First point today, we are ambassadors for God. Now, part of this isn't necessarily new. We know we have a message of reconciliation. We know we have the good news. We know we have the gospel. But remember, the stories that we tell about ourselves are important. I am not just a messenger. I am an ambassador. So what's the difference? If we're writing the job description this morning, what's the difference? What's the job description for messenger? What's the job description for ambassador? First thing, messengers deliver their message and then leave. Their job's done. They're on to the next message. Ambassadors settle in. They are sent to people, and messengers relay information. Ambassadors do that, but they also build relationships. Messengers care about what they say. Is it accurate to the message they were given? Ambassadors care about what they say, but also how they say it, how their entire life around it reflects the message they are conveying. Are they trusted? When you're an ambassador, there's an investment, there's a long-term commitment to the people you're sent to. We are ambassadors for God. And that builds on where Paul goes from here. Look in verse 3. He says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. How we communicate our message, both by our words, by our lives, is as important as the message itself. Why? Because we want to put no obstacle in anyone's way. We're not to be the hurdle people have to jump to reach Jesus. And even as I say that, we know how often we fall short of that. We know that there's work to do in this area. I think we live more and more in a culture that celebrates, and I'm not sure I'm going to say this right, but I'm just working through this idea, what I might call offensive truth tellers. People that may have a good message, may have good information to convey, and yet make it incredibly hard to hear that information. It makes me think of the famous Gandhi quote, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." So what is the alternative? How do we avoid putting obstacles in the way of the message of reconciliation given to us? Look down in verse 4. "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way." We don't put obstacles in people's way. No, instead we commend ourselves. We recommend ourselves. Okay. We avoid putting obstacles by commending ourselves. So what does commending look like? Paul's going to point out three ways in our lives that we commend ourselves to those around us. The first way is we commend ourselves by our endurance. Look in verse 4. It says, "Look, we commend ourselves by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger." These were not abstract ideas for Paul. These were experiences. We've already mentioned the hurricane this morning. And we know all across that path of destruction, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are not only enduring, but are coming alongside those in their community to love them, to show the love of Jesus to them. We commend ourselves by our endurance. When people look at our lives and see us enduring hardships, afflictions, calamities, and not only enduring, but especially enduring while continuing to love and serve those around us, we commend ourselves by our endurance. Secondly, we commend ourselves by our character. Verse 6, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. We commend ourselves when we live out lives that are pure. When we speak with knowledge, not a knowledge that puffs up, not a knowledge that's just going to make us proud or arrogant, but a knowledge and a wisdom we learned just by sitting at the feet of Jesus. By patience. Earlier in the passage it says, God's reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. How do we do it, extending that same patience to people? And kindness. I don't have to explain that one. And this is all fueled by the presence of the Spirit. We do this not in our own power, but through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way this is going to happen. And this is all harnessed, this purity and knowledge and patience and kindness fueled by the Holy Spirit is all harnessed to produce genuine love. We commend ourselves by our character. Lastly, we commend ourselves by our methods. How do we convey this message of reconciliation? Verse 7, Paul says, by truthful speech. Not deceptive, not manipulative, by truthful speech. And the power of God, which sounds great until you realize you have to stop relying on your own power to rely on the power of God. with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. That sounds interesting. So you realize he's talking about the armor of God. What do you hold with your right and left hand? The shield of faith, a dependence on faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What's he talking about? Our methods are truthful speech, a reliance on the power of God, not of ourselves. Working through the Word by the Spirit of God and faith. We don't have control over the outcomes, but we have faith. Faith in what God is doing. Faith in His Word. As ambassadors of God, we commend ourselves by our endurance, our character, and our methods. We commend ourselves in this way, so as not to put obstacles to people and the message of reconciliation we've been given. We commend ourselves in this way, no matter the circumstances. Look down in verse 8. We do all of this through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. It does not matter how we are treated. It does not change our behavior. Does not change how we conduct ourselves. Why? Because there's a specific reason we're conducting ourselves in this manner, so as not to create those obstacles, to not be a hindrance to the gospel. And this is difficult. And apart from the Spirit's work in our lives, making a new creation, good luck. But the Spirit is at work. And you want to know what makes all of that a little bit easier? Is when we get those small glimpses of what God is doing. How He is working around us. How He is using us. You see, we had all sorts of misconceptions. Misconceptions about one another, about God, about Jesus. But by His Spirit, we're beginning to see clearly the truth of things. And Paul's going to go on to describe, look, we've talked about how at one time we saw Jesus only according to the flesh, but now we see so much more about Him and how He's working. And he says, now turn that gaze on yourself for just a moment. What's the difference between if you look at your life just according to the flesh, according to only what you can see in your own power, versus being a glimpse of what God is actually doing? What does that look like? Verse 8. We are treated as imposters, and yet are true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many people rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. As treated as imposters but are true. There will be those who see us as misrepresenting ourselves, misrepresenting who God is, and yet we know we are true. There will be those who see us as unknown, as estranged, as isolated, and yet we are well known. We are known better than we even know ourselves. As dying. And there are moments of that. Sickness, pain. And yet through it all, we know we are connected to a source of life that means we will never. As punished but not killed. This is one I wrestled with a little bit, but punished here simply means discipline. As disciplined, as chastised, as instructed, God cares enough about us to guide us in the way we should go. But even moments of discipline are not for our destruction. They are for our growth. They also are for our life. as sorrowful, but rejoicing. Even when our circumstances would not allow us to have joy, our connection with Jesus does. As poor, but the source of innumerable riches. The message of reconciliation that we have is making people incredibly rich. Rich in a connection to God, as having nothing but possessing everything. The passage, "How shall he who has given us his Son not also give us all things?" We can look at our life according to the flesh and see ourselves as imposters, unknown, dying, punished, sorrowful, poor, and having nothing. And it's going to be a bad day. Or we can start to get a glimpse of what God is doing and see ourselves as true, well-known, alive, not destroyed, but rejoicing, making innumerable people rich and possessing everything. There is a bigger truth about Jesus and there's a bigger truth about us. We are a new creation. As ambassadors of God, we commend ourselves by our endurance, our character, and our methods because we see what God is doing in the world. And not just in the world, but in our own lives. We no longer have to have misconceptions. This is who we are. This is who God is calling us to be. This is how we partner with God to further the message of reconciliation, the work that He is doing through Jesus. And it is as simple as how you treat your neighbors. Making sure to put no obstacle in their way while continuing that work of reconciliation. As we close this morning, what is God putting on your heart? Maybe first and foremost, have you experienced that reconciliation to God? Have you begun to see a bigger picture of who Jesus is? Even his disciples were confused to start off with, but they still followed him. They caught enough of a glimpse, enough of something different, enough of the fullness of God that was in Jesus to just put one foot in front of them. Or if you've experienced that reconciliation, do you realize that God is partnering with you to further that work? It doesn't stop with you. It doesn't end with you. It goes beyond you and through you. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And that's not just your family members who are arguing. It is making peace between God and other people. And as ambassadors, it is not just our message that matters. It is how we use everything we are. Even all the things from the outside that look like calamities and hardships. And it is how we use everything we are to represent well the one who has sent us. Lord, if we leave here today just wanting to be better, to do better, you know how much we will struggle. May we lean into your Spirit. May we lean into the new creation that is a work you are doing in us. And by leaning into that, may we be your ambassadors, not just in our words, but in everything we are. Amen.